Bibles tonight, if you'll turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. And we'll begin with verse number 24. Paul says, "Know ye not?" And it's a phrase that he uses several times in his writing to this church, that there were things that they should know. I mean, that common sense should have told them. In other words, as Christians, this should be natural. They should just know this. And he's calling into question why they don't know. What is the problem? Why don't they know? And he says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain." As we look at this, we just have 3 points. And the first one that we'll make is that life is a race, likened unto a race many times in Paul's writings, in Hebrews 12 and 2 Timothy chapter 4 and several other places, that he likens the Christian life to a race. And we've heard that before. We've heard that most of our lives, or most of our Christian lives, that we've heard that, we've read Paul's words, but he's really calling into question, do you really know this? Do you really understand that life is a race? The Christian life in particular, being likened unto a race. And when he speaks of this, it's not that he's speaking necessarily of the time element, though there is a time element. We do have a time that's appointed to us. But I think he's referring more to other aspects of the race, which we'll look at concerning the Christian life. You know, oftentimes, if you're like me, you come into the house of God and you're waiting for that message. And you're waiting for one that will be the one that will explain to you how to live the Christian life successfully. You want to know how to do that? But if you're honest, if you're like me, you want to hear how to live it successfully with minimal effort, minimal strain, minimal pain. You know, that's what we want. We want the Christian life without pain, without stress, without strain, without hurdles, without difficulty, without trials. And we convince ourselves that there's a way to do that with a certain amount of worldly success and a certain amount of spiritual success. We can find the less difficult road. If you're like me, I'm lazy at heart, you know, and I work like a fool, but it's really because I'm lazy. I mean, it really is. It's because I don't want to go down a hard road that's even harder. And so I want to make sure that even though this road may seem hard, it's a lot easier than going down a hard road first that doesn't lead anywhere and then coming back and going down the right road. And so, you know, I'm always in search of what is that easy way. And we're often in search of literature and books and things that can lead us down that easy way. We want the Christian life without trials. We want it without pain. We want it without stress and without tiredness. And the moment we encounter stress or tiredness or any of these things, we assume we've gone wrong on the Christian walk somewhere. We assume we missed something. We're not doing it right if it's difficult. We're not doing it right if it's tiring. And so, first of all, the first point is that it's a race. In other words, it requires strain. It requires difficulty. That's just part of it. And I'm afraid that many have not decided to join the race. They've looked at it and it looks too difficult. You've been on the sidelines and you've been waiting for a way to run the race without actually running. You know, and that's the way we are. That's why Christian bookstores are filled with multiples of self-help books, looking for a way to run the race without actually running. Joel Osteen is one of the best at telling you can live the Christian life without any pain, without any stress, without any difficulty. And Paul says, don't you know that it is a race? It is difficult. And God's people have got to decide, are they going to run the race? Are you going to run it? Are you going to pick it up? Now, if I were to say to you tonight, let's walk out those doors and let's sprint to Clio. Well, there would be multiple reactions. There would be a numerous different amount of excuses that would arise. Some would say, well, I have small children. I can't run. And I found myself saying that as a believer. Well, I can't do that because I have a lot of kids and it's hard to... There's different things that are hard to do. But Paul says the life is a race. It's difficult. Some would, when I said, let's run to Clio, some would say, but I'm old. And I can't do that. And that's been many's excuse in the Christian life. But I'm beyond age. I can't. Or I'm below age, and I can't. But you say, I don't have the proper equipment. My shoes are not conducive to running right now. And you can begin to look at your circumstances. And you may say, I'm carrying too many things to... I've got my stuff, and I can't. Or I've got to work tomorrow, and I'll be tired. Or, you know, and as various, we would have various excuses as to why we couldn't run 10 miles this evening. All of us, we would have our own different reason for not being able to run. And it is the same with the Christian life. There's various excuses that we have. As we sit and we look at this, and many are just not willing to put in effort. It is strenuous. You know, in Isaiah chapter 40, in verse 30, speaking of just the idea of the strain in the Christian life, even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. We think about the strain and the struggle of living the Christian life. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And there's a blessed promise there, which we may get to later, but I want to point out there's strain. There'll be times of fainting. In the book of Acts, when the Apostle Paul was going around and encouraging the young churches in Acts chapter 14, in verse 22, they were going around to the churches that they had been to before, and they went back around to them, and says there in verse 22 of Acts 14, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. Keep going. Keep going. They went to encourage them, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Through a great amount of difficulty. Through a great amount of struggle. And so our first point again from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, first of all, is just that it is like a race. And many have not decided whether or not they want to run it. They, they've, tried to figure out is there a way to run the race without actually running? And of course the answer is no. There's no way to run it without actually running. But oftentimes we're in search for that one message that's going to tell us how to live the Christian life without opposition, without difficulty, without problems, without stress, and it's just not there. Many go from church to church looking for that message. From book to book, they've got thousands of them. They're looking for that way. Notice the next thing here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And it just struck me as so ridiculous, but how stupid are we at sometimes? And I am as well. In 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24, he says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run?" They run. That's what you do. And that seems so basic. It seems so stupid to even say, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run?" They run. They get out there and they push themselves to the end of themselves. There was a famous Christian runner in the 40s, and he was known, he would run the 400 meter, but he wouldn't run the 1,000 meter because that was always on Sunday. And he was known for running the 400 meter, and they said, how do you always win the 400 meter? And he says, "I run the first 200 with everything I have." And he says, "And then I run the last 200 praying that the Lord will help me run it harder than the first 200. And he says, "And that's how I win every one of them." Running is something that you push yourself to the edge. "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all?" All of them run, and they run with all that they have. They run. And it sounds ridiculous to say it, but they run. 1 Timothy, keep your place because we'll keep coming back, but 1 Timothy chapter 4. And verse 7. "But refuse profane and old wise fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness." And that word there, exercise, really means exercise. It means giving forth effort. Exercise. The only way to become a runner is to run. That's it. That's all there is. The only way to become a runner is to run. Now, you can read as much strategy as you want, but there's not much more strategy than running. And you can read books about training, but you will never be trained until you run. That's the long and short of it. And he says here in this verse, "Exercise thyself unto godliness." It takes attempting a life of godliness. It takes an attempt to live that way. It takes an attempt to run, to learn to run. And it's, again, it sounds so simple. It sounds almost ridiculous to even say. But as I imagine it, I see believers sitting down on the track. I see the gun has been fired, and there they sit on the track reading a book about strategy, how to win a race. That's what we do. We would rather read a self-help book about how to win a race than to run. To get out there and to go. "But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness." Getting back to 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. And again, I admit that much of the time I'm standing there trying to figure out if I really want to run. Running's hard. Running hurts. Running gives you cramps. It's easier to sit in the bleachers. We've got to make a determination in our lives. Are we going to sit in the bleachers or are we going to run? We're registered for the race. We've been admitted into the race. Know ye not that they which run in a race run? That just seems so ridiculous to even say. But they run. They strain. They strive. They get tired. They have hurdles. They have pains. They have difficulties. It is a race. It is difficult. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run. I mean, it seems so simple. He just says, so run. Strive. Life won't always be easy. We've painted to ourselves a picture as a society that has come out of the manufacturing era of what life should be like. And perhaps it's just not so to the believer. You know, there's a stark difference between those that are on the track and those that are in the bleachers. There's a massive difference. And we're those that are on the track. It is a completely separate life. It's altogether different. Notice verse 25. And every man that striveth for mastery is temperate in all things. He has mastered every part of his life. We're in the time of the Olympics right now. Those are people that have given their lives over completely to be athletes and to reach a certain amount of physical perfection on this earth. The best of the best. They've given themselves over to that. Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. You know, we have this problem we can't figure out. We have an identity crisis. We can't figure out what we want to be, a runner or a spectator. We can't figure it out. If you could see my Christian life on the track, I'd be stopping at the concession stands all the time. I'd be trying to run with a bucket of popcorn. It would look ridiculous. And what Paul is seeing with his own eyes in this church looks ridiculous. He says, don't you know that when you run a race, you run? And it sounds crazy to say, but if we could see ourselves in this race, the lack of seriousness about it, and I am speaking about my own self. I see myself on that track. I see myself sitting in a chair after the pistol has shot, and I'm reading a book on race strategy. How ridiculous! Run! It seems so crazy. Run. But I've done that numerous times. Reading a book on what's the easiest way to run a race without sweating. It's a ridiculous concept. He says it's a race. Run. He's temperate in all things. But we, at times, we get to looking around and we get to looking at the stands and we think it'd be better to be up there. I'd like a 32-ounce pop. That's where I'd like to sit. That's where it looks funner up there. And we have an identity crisis in our lives. Asaph went through a period of time like that in Psalm 73. He began to look at the wicked and he became envious at them. But we're not in the stands. Our life is different. We can't measure our physical success against the physical success of the world. They're not the same. We're not to measure our hobbies by, well, I don't golf as much as my neighbor. He golfs a lot more than me. We're not to measure ourselves by that. That's not our standard. Our standard is different. Hebrews chapter 12 and the analogies of race running are used regularly in the Bible. This is one that we've often read before, and we know it very well. Hebrews 12, verse 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, concerning all of those witnesses in Hebrews chapter 11, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Again, I see myself. I've got my little cushy pad that I sit in the bleachers on, and my bucket of popcorn, and my 32-ounce pop, and I'm trying to run the race. With an identity crisis. I don't know if I want to be a runner, if I want to sit in the stands, or I want all the comforts of the people in the stands. Well, that's just not so. The runners get a little Dixie cup of water as they run by. That's what you get. But we're not satisfied with that. And so we load ourselves with weights and things that nobody could run with. Nobody could run with those things. I guess I have a bad habit of not being able to identify a weight till I've been carrying it a while. That's the way I am. Man, after I've run with it for a few months, I'm like, oh, this is a weight. This is a problem. This is a difficulty. This is a struggle. I can't keep carrying this. I can't. I'm becoming ineffective in the work of Christ because of this. So gotta go. That's what a weight is. It's anything that makes you ineffective in the work of Christ. It could be a payment. It could be a job. It could be whatever. Anything that makes you ineffective in the race. Anything that slows your progress down in where you would be serving the Lord. It could just be something that takes your mental capacity away. It removes your mental capacity so that you can't be the husband, wife, whatever. There are things, they're not financial, they're not physical, they're just something that's there, that's in your mind, or whatever, that takes away. You only have so much mental capacity. I found that out. I've only got so much. And there are times I get to the end of the day and I'm fried. I've got nothing. I live in the house I grew up in, and when I've had one of those days, I go wandering down the hallway and I walk into what used to be my bedroom and start trying to find the clothes I need, which is now my kids' room. You know, I'm just shot. There's things that take our mental capacity away, and they're a problem. Paul told Timothy, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." I had to memorize that to play soccer. In other words, my coach didn't want us worried about our girlfriends when we were out there on the field. He'd rather we just not have any while we were in soccer season. He'd rather we not have any other problems or distractions when we were out there playing the game. He just wanted us playing the game. We could look at that same analogy. A soldier, a foot soldier, goes into the battle with just what he needs. He can't take a bunch of other stuff with him. And he can't be out there pulling his iPhone out and trading his stocks out on the field. It doesn't work. He has to go out there with a focus. And his life, because he's a soldier, has a different life than everyone else. And that's the same with us. We have a different life than everyone else. It's a different life. Do we want to be on the track? Do we want to run the race? Or do we not? So first of all, it is a race. Second of all, you run. That's what you do. Don't you know that people in a race, they run? And the third thing is, we have to be temperate. In other words, there's things that just can't be in our lives. We can't, even on non-race days, expect to fill our bodies with junk and then race. It doesn't work that way. I mean, there's so many, this analogy of racing could go on forever. There are so many things about it that I thought about as the Lord was making me think about this. I don't know how many times I have expected to come into the service of God. I've sat down on the pew. I've prayed for the service. And I'm like, okay, we've got 40 minutes. I hope the Lord turns me into a marathon runner tonight. Well, how ridiculous. You know how you become a marathon runner? You run. A 40-minute session with a trainer is not going to make you a marathon runner. It's never going to happen. But I've hoped for that many times. What a worthless hope. It's like Pastor gave the analogy a while back of joining Anytime Fitness, and it's the same thing. You couldn't just show up and sit in the corner there at the place and tell the trainer, well, I'm hoping you can turn me into a marathon runner. I have a marathon tomorrow. It's not going to happen. You're going to lose some races for a while. Till you get into shape, till you figure this out. You become a marathon runner by running. That's simply it. That's what it is. Many are in search of a life that for the Christian simply doesn't exist. It's not there. It's nowhere in this book. It's not there. I look at people and their troubles and their trials and their difficulties, and I can pray and I can hope and I can wish that I don't want those difficulties, but there are difficulties in the Christian life. There are testings and there are trials and there are many such things. And it's part of our life. It's a race. It has hurdles. It has difficulties. It has pain. But the end is worth it. Paul also refers to it as a pursuit, which again is like a race, in Philippians chapter 3. Again, we've read these many times. Pastors preach from them. Numerous times expounded on these verses very well. Philippians 3 and verse 12, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am also apprehended of Christ. He was in a pursuit. What is he running for? Verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's what he was reaching forward to. He was reaching forward to a relationship with Christ, to the mark that it was set by Christ. As we heard in the message on Sunday, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He was pressing towards that mark of that life, of that bar. He was reaching towards that. He was running towards that. He was searching for a deeper relationship. We see that in verse number 10. That was the mark. And so, when we come into the services of God, and we ought not to be expecting to find out how to live and run the race without sweating, without difficulty, without pain. But we do find strength. We find refreshing and strength. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. The life, this race, will not be without stress, pain, struggles, effort, great effort. We have this promise of grace and peace through the knowledge of God. Through knowing more about Him, through learning His ways and how He operates, through drawing near to Him in the knowledge of God. Notice verse 3, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. So it is not appropriate to be in search of an easy road, a road without stress, a road without difficulty, a road without aches and pains. But it is appropriate to expect of God the power and the grace that we need. That is promised in the Word of God. Through learning of Him, through drawing near to Him, the grace and peace and power is available. And you have a right to expect that in the house of God, in the Word of God, in the preaching of God. That's ours. That's guaranteed to us. That's given to us. An easy road is not given to us. A race without running is not given to us. But what we need to run it is. And that's a blessing. That's a comforting thought to think on. Life will tire us out. And the next day there's strength. There's power to move forward. Marriage is a race. Parenting is a race. Church membership is a race. Personal purity is a race. These are all difficulties. And we've got to decide, are we willing to run? There's great rewards to running. The runner doesn't run for some trinkets that he gets afterwards. He runs for the satisfaction of running. And again, the only way to be a runner is to run. That's it. It's through exercise. It's through repetitive and continual running that you become a runner. Again, we cannot expect that it will happen instantly. We can't expect that it'll happen in a service, in a moment. There'll be some struggles. As we read in Isaiah, even, we'll turn back there and close with that, even the youths said back there in Isaiah chapter 40, in verse 30, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Those that are built, those that are strong, those that we would think could really, really run, we've seen some fall. It's common to the race. But they that wait upon the Lord, waiting there implies a number of things, seeking Him, looking to Him. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. And the reference there is eagles can actually fly for long, long periods of time. The way that their wings lock into place actually takes them less effort to fly and soar than it does to sit on a tree limb. Once they get up there and catch a breeze and lock their wings into place, they shall run and not be weary. That's a miracle. That's a miracle of the power of God. You'll only experience that if you run. That's it. There's no other way. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's the promise of God. And there is strength, I find. When you're where the Lord would have you to be and you're doing what He would have you to do, there's the power and the strength and the grace that you need that oftentimes you won't understand. You won't know how you went through there. You won't know how you ran that distance. You won't know how you climbed those hills or crossed what you crossed, except by the strength of God. And so, it is a race. And the only thing to do is to run it. You can read all the books you want. There's no way around it. We have an identity crisis. We don't know whether we want to be on the track or in the stands. And I'm in that oftentimes. Satan will often, in this world, will get us caught in that place where we have an identity crisis. We don't know what we really want to do today. Do we really want to put forth the effort? But when you do, there will be power. That's the promise. They shall run and not be weary. There'll be power there when you put forth the effort. The only way is to run.